This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you for being with us on The Vedic Wisdom. I'd like to talk to you about distress. Distress is it's called a concomitant factor in the material world, meaning that it is a component of the features of this material world, that you do get put into distress without earning it, wanting it, causing it, but you get distressed. And I think everyone can accept that. Everyone has experience of distressing situation that you didn't cause, you didn't force, it didn't happen like that, it came upon you. And this distress, you think it as a personal thing. You think, oh, how come I'm in distress? And I look around and someone else isn't. How did this distress come upon me? You have to understand it isn't you. It is an integral factor that has to do with this material world, this place. Now, you can take a look and you can pretty well figure it out, in the sense that all the living entities that are here, all of the, let's just stop for the moment, unless you talk on the human platform, there's millions and billions and trillions more living entities in the other species of life. But we seem to get the distress more from the other humans. Okay, now, in the Bhagavad Gita, distress is given three sources. Caused by your own mind and body upon you. You get sick, hurt something, break something. Okay? Someone tells you, I don't love you anymore. Okay? Then there's distress caused by other living entities where they're impacting something upon you and imposing something upon you. They have a law or the rule or the control or something over you. And then there's the distress caused by material nature and those influences of again, the seasons, the weather. You can be freezing cold in distress. You can be cooking hot, dehydrated in distress. So many different natural activities in the weather patterns. So many things, okay? Volcano goes off in your backyard, right? Okay. So generally speaking, the Vedic literature describes these three categories. But the point is that it's here. It's an integral part of the place. And you can't take it personally. You can't say, oh, I'm so distressed. I'm more distressed than you are. It's not fair. That is not possible. This is a big problem in the human society. Everybody thinks they have a right to complain if things aren't perfect. And you don't. That is not true, and that's what's causing so many problems. Everybody is arrogant, selfish, puffed up, disgusting. I'm inconvenienced. How dare you? This is a sign of ignorance. No realization. An ignorant being is saying that sort of stuff. Because actually, every living entity is the creator of his own problems. You wouldn't be in this situation if you hadn't have earned it. And all of the aspects that constitute your predicament in the material world, both good and bad, are of your creation, your long-term earnings. Okay, just like you go to work, you take a job, and you make your earnings. And out of your earnings, well, the first thing is you pay taxes. And then you get this money and you're able to do this and you pay your bills and you do this and that and you got some freedom. You have some left over. You go on vacation. You get the pluses of vacation and the minuses of taxes. It's all a portion of your created energies, your achievements. And on the higher scale of things, this lifetime that you're experiencing, your strength, your beauty, your level of education, where you're born, who you're born to, your siblings, the country you're born in, the opportunities of education, the opportunities of knowledge, the opportunities of work and experience and interaction into society, it's all a reflection of your work, including how much distress you have. Some people have a whole lot of distress, and some people have a little, and some people have all sorts of different levels in between and beyond. But it's the individual's creation. It is not God loving you and hating him. No. It is your work. The problem is you've been so poorly educated, you think that this life is the only period of time that is being calculated. Well, I've been a good, since I was a little boy, I was good. Why is this happening to me? Because the experience that you're having now is the result of many, many lifetimes worth of earnings. You have earned so many different types of credits. Some good, some bad, some neutral. And you've earned these credits by your work. So, what is happening that you can perceive now with your senses or you remember with your memory is only a fraction of the account that's being kept on your behalf. Higher authorities, there's 33 million demigods in this universe, and the higher authorities are keeping accounts of every single individual. Every single individual. Unique. My account is totally different than your account and everyone else's. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. And it's true for every single living entity. The Lord is witnessing by his planetary expansion called the Supersoul residing in the heart of the living entities. And the accounts are being kept by his servants. And he is deciding truthful, honest value of what you are actually doing. You can deceive the other people. You can deceive the other living entities. And you can cause distress and say, I didn't mean to do that. But you did. So later in your life or in a future lifetime, that distress is imposed upon you. This is how nature works. Nature is a balanced system. Everybody knows that. Any of you who's involved in the spiritual side of things know the yang and the yin is a balancing, interacting phase of the energies of nature. If you put in a whole lot of nonsense, you get a whole lot of nonsense back. And you put in a lot of love, you get a whole lot of love back. The issue is, it oftentimes jumps over the transition of transmigration from one body to another. Let's say you did something really cool in the last week of your life. You didn't live long enough to get the result. So it comes back in your next life. Well, the higher authorities, they have the right, the Lord, he has the right to mix when you get what and how you get it. And this is what makes us have the conception of life being dynamic. You can take a movement over here and nothing stops you, but the credit, good or bad, is still put on your account. It comes back sooner or later. But it comes back. So what we have is, excuse me, an account that's going on longer than the duration of one lifetime. And it's being governed, witnessed, recorded fairly. And it's bringing back upon us a degree of happiness and a degree of distress. So immediately we turn to the Vedic scriptures and we find in there that one is supposed to be equal in his acceptance of happiness and distress because you caused it. I caused my happiness. I caused my distress too. You did the same. All the living entities do. So there's two accounts. We discussed this previously. There's one account that's for goodness, and you keep adding it up and adding it up and adding it up. And another account that's for bad activities, and you keep adding it up and adding it up and adding it up. And one account does not counter the other account. They're separate accounts. You will get that good in return. You will. And you will get that distress in return. You will. So now it's over to you using your free will with knowledge. knowledge that there's two accounts. Knowledge that the accounts last longer than one life. Okay, so this knowledge, this is what opens the door for you to be able to take control of your lifetime. You can cope with the distress. You can cope with the happiness. And you don't blame others. This is a common social problem now. People are so unwilling to take responsibility that they blame anything that happens they don't like on someone else. They don't see how it's connected to them. They blame someone else. They'll strike back. They'll try to get vengeance. They'll try to abuse someone because they unknowingly and inadvertently, without plan or cause, caused distress to you. So we have to rise above this. This is where knowledge is at. This is what knowledge is for. For you to understand, you are accumulating karmic accounts, good and bad. Bitching and moaning about the quality of the karma that's coming back on you is not intelligent. But trying to figure out how to empty your accounts and how to reestablish yourself so that you don't fill them again. Now that is intelligence. That is worth understanding. That is why you approach a spiritual master. You get the key of how to stop distress and how to stop the cycle of birth and death. Because the cycle of birth and death is built on this good and bad karmic reaction you're earning. And if you stop depositing in either the good or the bad account, you can stop having to take another birth to reap those good and bad results. This is the real way to stop distress. Because the happiness is binding, and all the happiness is tainted a little bit. There's always a little bit of distress even in the happiest thing. Similarly, there's always a little bit of happiness even in the most distressing thing. It's not that they're absolute, they're predominant one way or the other way. But both the happiness and distress are cause of bondage to the cycle of birth and death. So the intelligent person, he wants to know, how do I stop this distressful condition? How do I stop being forced to take a birth where I get a mixture of good and bad results imposed upon me? And of course, your free will's not taken away, and you can react right or react wrong, or you can earn more or you can earn less, but it's all dynamic. So you need to understand, if you have something this powerful, this long-term, and this dynamic, the solution is no joke. The solution is something to be understood clearly and employed with accuracy and with intelligence, so that you can actually stop the cycle of birth and death. The Vedic literature says when one comes to this platform, he requires a spiritual master. The spiritual master knows the process, knows how to free one from the confusion of this cycle of birth and death, to liberate you from the happiness and distress that is an inherent characteristic of material life. So the spiritual master enlightens the disciple who surrenders and serves him. He comes humbly. Master, I need answers to serious questions. You know those answers. Will you please tell me? But coming forward and pointing the finger at the spiritual master and say, all right, I want the answers now. I'm not taking a no for an answer. Let's get this fixed. I need it. That's not going to make it. Because when you come to realize that there is a higher force governing this resultant from your actions, you realize you are helpless to stop it. And a person in a helpless condition is wise to surrender. If you don't want to have your head cut off, you surrender to the guy with the sword. Similarly, if you want to put an end to the cycle of birth and death and this happiness and distress, you render service to the spiritual master who knows just how to do that. He's fully compassionate, fully willing. But you can't come with a cheating atmosphere, a challenging attitude. You can't come with an ulterior purpose. You can't come and try to take his seat and lord it over others. I'll tell you the, how to stop the cycle of happiness and distress if you pay me. He's not going to empower you, because this is what we're talking about, empowerment. The spiritual master is empowered as the representative of the Lord to deliver the message, the answer, the explanation, the guidance of how to stop the cycle of birth and death, how to raise above selfishness, how to get out of the happiness and distress issue. So we approach the spiritual master and listen. We inquire, ask honest questions, serious questions. And from those answers, we're able to turn our lives, use our free will, and turn our lives into a progressive path towards the upliftment and enlightenment where we're able to stop the cycle of birth and death. Now, the spiritual master's attitude is he'll give you the answers, but you must humbly accept them and you must engage wholeheartedly. It's not like, oh, I'll do it a bit. Okay, I'll try some kind of... No. He wants you to surrender. You render service, get involved, do the right thing with the knowledge imparted to you. So the Vedic literature says there's 10 kinds of devotional service. And you can do any one or all or some of those types of devotional service and start cutting yourself free. And the most direct, the easiest, because of the nature of the place, the most potent, direct, simplest method is hearing and chanting. It's in sound. Your stairway lies on the whispering wind. The stairway to realization, to liberation, to enlightenment, to freedom from birth and death lies on sound. You hear the Vedic literature, you hear the explanations and instructions of the spiritual master, and you vibrate the great mantra for deliverance. And similarly, you dovetail your activities into any of the other 9 processes of devotional service. And the key to this science comes from the spiritual master. He explains how they all can be employed, how you can use your abilities, your individuality, your perspective perfectly without change. You have to be somebody you're not. You get to be who you are. But you're now, instead of in the service of the self and struggling with this good and bad results and happiness and distress, you're engaged in your activities of transcendental activities, service to the Supreme Lord in any one or many of the processes of devotional service. And the spiritual master is illuminating the inner meanings, the inner needs and responsibilities for the disciple who is sincerely trying to understand. So this is a very scientific and proven method where distress stops, enlightenment starts, happiness grows. Spiritual awakening is the threshold. The hearing, the chanting, the other processes of devotional service, service to the spiritual master, listening to him, learning from him, inquiring from him, and becoming a realized personality. When you're realized, your actions are all to your benefit. When you're speculating, sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. And when you're a fool, generally speaking, it's not going your way. You're mucking up most things. And we see our society is basically getting worse and worse, more mucking up, less responsibility, less accomplishment, less focus, less spiritual awareness. So part of the process of spiritual awakening is to share this knowledge. This is the plan on the part of the Supreme Lord. This is the purpose of the spiritual master arriving here, incarnating here, such that this knowledge can be distributed to those who are waking up. And they can be supported, enthusiastically supported, to pull themselves out of the threefold miseries of life. Get out of the distress. That's the spiritual master's plan. That's his assignment. Liberate these fallen souls from the clutches of ignorance, the clutches of material happiness and distress. So this door is open if you take it. You have to detach yourself from unnecessary activities, unnecessary involvement, unnecessary association, unnecessary desires. You have to put that crap down. It comes with the environment. The society's lost. They're coming up with all sorts of nonsense. They put your mind and attention on things you have nothing to do with. You can make no influence on. They are not important to your sojourn. And you have to let go of all that stuff. You have to put it down. Okay? And this is the game. By service and surrender. By detachment from material activities and attachment for spiritual service. These are the basics that you can see are very common sense, very simple, very practical, usable for anyone who is actually tired of being in anxiety. So, by taking this opportunity and learning the higher concepts of what is actual spiritual life and spiritual responsibility, you can stop the distress that everyone is beginning to struggle with because society is so misguided. The spiritual master's intent is to lift you to that platform. We have so many books. Bhagavad Gita, as it is the ABC, bottom line, everything you need to know. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, by His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that is exactly what is required for any individual to come out of the confused, suffering, anxiety, distressful situation he finds himself in, as opposed to complaining and blaming others. So when you see someone who is blaming other people for their distress, they need enlightenment. And the enlightenment is there in Bhagavad Gita as it is. They need to know everything that's happening to them, just like everything's happening to you or me, is our own making. And you don't like it, then you shouldn't have caused it. And you want things to be better, then cause better things. And inquire, look up Bhagavad Gita, inquire from the spiritual master, reach out to understand things in proper perspective. This is the human responsibility. This is the human opportunity. This is what, generally speaking, the demonic creatures who are running the planet don't want you to know and don't want you to spend your time on. Okay? This is what they're doing to you and I and everyone else. Making you care about Mickey Mouse. Making you care about elections. Making you care about foreign countries or foreign individuals. So this is not the positive side of life. This is the distraction side of life. So you're encouraged to break away from these things. Pull back from the miseries and anxieties that are plaguing your life and everyone you know. And reach to the platform of spiritual understanding. Come to the platform of love of God. Love of God is found in devotional service. The Lord will reveal Himself to one who surrenders and becomes a servant. He's not on demand. You cannot make the Lord do anything. You can only serve the Lord and wait for His reciprocation. So this is our message. Read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Use the great mantra for deliverance to vibrate the purifying sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Approach the spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Read, learn, educate yourself. Use your free will to adjust your perspectives of understanding. You can solve the problems instead of complaining about them. And you can help the next man who's complaining about them to solve his problems too. And this is the opportunity. This is the joy of life. This is when we actually feel fulfilled, because our constitutional position is we are servants of God. And He is waiting for you to come and say, do you have a job for me? Do you have a place in the transcendental, spiritual, eternal world for someone like me? And the answer is, most definitely. There is a unique place for you, the unique person. Take up that place, take up that service, reach to that opportunity. That's what this is really all about. Figuring out how to rise above these happiness and distress of this material world and get back to that natural platform of spiritual bliss and knowledge where you really belong. This is your real home. This is the solution offered by the Vedic wisdom, by the Vedic knowledge.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.